Well, first of all, I'm going to preface my statement with I'm not crazy about gas prices right now either, but I'm not so simple-minded as to blame it on the president. And I was listening to some of these economists again this morning on TV, and they drive me nuts. What did big oil do immediately once the pandemic hit? They cut way back on production because, well, people weren't driving as much, duh. And then they came up with this brilliant about who's doing bad right now economically. And it was retail sales are terrible at Target, big box stores like, you know, Best Buy. And then what a revelation that home improvement stores are doing bad. Well, guess who was doing fantastic during the pandemic? Home improvement stores, because you didn't have anything else you could do. And now people that have been pent up for 2 years are out to drive and want to go places. And, you know, big oil colluded across the board, the Saudis, the Russians, and our own oil companies here to cut production back. And the Saudis refused to up production. And we're supposed to buy this. Oh, and then the last one I'll get to that I can't stand. Oh, duh, we're making our summer blend. Well, you do that every year. Summer comes every year, winter comes every year. But yet, that's one of their excuses for a price hike, which will be coming this coming weekend.
Right. Here's the deal on that, Dick. I mean, the truth of the matter is that inflation right now is worldwide. The UK has something like 8% inflation. It's the highest in 40 years. No man is an island. No country is an island. I mean, that's number one. Number two, the pandemic contributes it. The Ukraine war contributes to it. Supply chain issues. Economic cycles. It's very common to blame the president. I get it. Each party does it. But I think Biden's doing a great job. Remember, unemployment is the lowest it's been since 1968. Employers are begging people to take work. Things happen. So we'll take that criticism, and I think it's not going to stick. Next, we are going to Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Hi, Matt. We create a problem for ourselves when we, the way we treat mail-in ballots. We start counting them after the polls close. And a lot of other states, including Florida, start counting the mail-in ballots the day before or the morning of Election Day. And what this means is that they are counted and available for tally at the same time that the in-person ballots are available, and rather than in sequence. There is a difference in the statistical makeup of the people who vote in person, which tend to be a little more Republican, as opposed to the people who vote in mail-in. And as a result, Trump has been talking about how an election is won based on the in-person and then stolen on the basis of the ballots that the bad guys find, quote-unquote, later on. And yet that is the perfectly natural result of not counting the mail-in ballots until after the polls close. The media, the television stations and so on, they start reporting results as soon as they can because that's good for their ratings. But the mail-in results are
so
not available.
You're suggesting that mail-ins should be counted as they come in, and then it'll be a more, it won't look like a big surprise at the end that somehow, you know, something wrong happened, because this way it looks like a big dump at the end of Democratic votes.
It's called the red mirage.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, Bill just made an excellent point. In other words, this cry of fraud, and this happened in Wisconsin too, when you have laws like ours that say you can't even start counting until Election Day, well, it takes a long time to count them. So the initial votes come in, they're Republican oriented because they're in person. And then everybody says that Joe Blow is ahead by 5 points. Well, then the absentee come in, the mail come in, and it swings the other way. And people go, oh, they must have cooked this up. They must have come up with the votes they needed. No. So what Bill of Shorewood is suggesting, which is a very good idea, is that why don't we change the law like North Carolina has? And you let them be, the minute they come in or within a day or so, they're counted. In other words, they're fed into the machine. The one thing you don't want is that to leak out, because then people will get the idea that so-and-so is going to win and they may be discouraged from voting. But North Carolina solved that. They put it in and nobody knows what the results are. And then the day of, they announce it instantaneously. Excellent idea, Bill. Thanks a lot for calling in. Mark from the SAC, you're next, my friend. What's on your mind, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, I've got all kinds of thoughts in my head that, of course, CJ gives his normal talking points, and Dick's, and Dick and the Bills have brought up some great stuff. I mean, that it's hard sometimes for me not to wish at this Republican convention that proposed red death doesn't just sweep through and, you know, just erase them from existence, that... But that's not in my vein generally, that to be violent like that and think, you know, that kind of...
We don't want violence, but the last time we had it was a civil war. I mean, Mark, I'm sorry.
We don't want any violence at all, because these people are protesting violently outside people's homes, and it shouldn't be happening. You know, that peaceful protest is one thing, but violent protests outside people's homes is another thing. That thing in Michigan where... they weren't prosecuting the people that were making threats to the Secretary of State in Michigan. That is ridiculous. I mean, that those people all should have been jailed. Anybody making a threat like that, right to jail they should go. And that maybe they should have their right to vote denied to them for a few years, you know, so they can actually learn their lesson, because that is not supposed to be what America is all about. It's supposed to be one man, it's supposed to be one person, one vote now. What it has developed into. We're not the country we were 220-some years ago. We are a new nation, and the Constitution evolves along with us because the founders intended it, because they provided for amendments to the Constitution, because they knew that they were not perfect men. They knew it was not a perfect document. The preamble even says it, to create a more perfect union, not a perfect union, a more perfect union. And that's what we should be striving for, rather than what the Republicans want, is to roll us into some kind of authoritarian antebellum nation that we have fields full of contented, you know, laborers and the ungentle lairds ruling over the rest of us. I mean, that...
Yeah, no, you're making a good point. And the deal is... this country in 1788, when George Washington was elected, by just a bunch of guys who got together in the 13 colonies, it says, it's got to be George. He didn't even have an opponent. And the people that got together in those days, no woman could vote, no African-American or other minority could vote. Not only that, a guy who rented or was just a field hand couldn't vote. It had to be somebody who owned property. Just like in Merry Old England. Merry Old England, you've seen like Downton Abbey type thing, you know? Downton Abbey would have its own member of parliament, one member, and they would just decide, is it this son or that son? Whereas Manchester might have 100,000 people and they get one too. That's what went on in those days. That was primitive. We cannot be bound by how they did it. We have to be bound by elections, which we've done for over 200 years. We're going to a break. The lines are open. I know some of you have been hanging on. I will get back to you right after the break. Do not hang up. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.